You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
It's in Romans today, chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. Romans 9, 30 through 33. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And Father God, we just want to thank you so much for this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
All right. Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit. And the semester is going by. So we just, I just had my last of the midterms. We've got two midterms and then we have the final. And so I graded the last midterm and so the final's coming up in a few weeks' time. And I said to Seppi, it's just amazing these semesters. So you just start and then you blink your eye and boom, there you are. You're looking at the end. You know, we used to have a totally different system when I first started university way back when, and it was the British system. In the British system, it had just a whole year. You had the whole year. So you'd gather up about six or so different courses through the year. At the end of the year, you had the finals. Well, that means the first courses a year ago, right? So you're going to have finals on something you studied about a year ago. Well, you've got to be very well organized. Now, there were some strengths about it. But one thing I noticed that when they introduced the semester system, it really cut the year up, and I noticed that the year would go by quickly. And well, we're used to the semester system now. I don't think we're going to change that. I think we're going to stay with that. The nice thing about it is that, really speaking, concentration of students can't really handle much more than a semester. They need a break. Everyone needs a break. The Lord said, come aside and rest a while. You know, you need a rest. Your brain needs a rest. And here's something I've learned too for my own sake in studying. You do, when your brain is active and trying to engage with learning things, you do get tired. You feel tired. But your body has not been worked out. So what you've got to do is you've got to force yourself to do something physical to get your body tired. But you feel tired already before you start. And that's where it's hard, right? So that's where it's hard. You've got to really get yourself organized. And so I try to do that. I'm just now starting this program at home. I've got some weights and I've got a little booklet. And I keep record of my exercises and how many reps of this did I do and force myself to get into some sort of routine with that. But the weather's changing, and oh, doesn't it look gorgeous out there in Thunderbird? Oh, it is just beautiful. And the smell that's in the air from the various flowers and things coming out, it's really good. And the deer, I think the deer don't know what to do with themselves because there's so much food there, they can't handle it, you know. It's just too much. And the birds are out singing their songs. It's beautiful out there. I love it. And we're seeing more and more birds. Although we do not have hummers yet. Now, some of you have got hummers. I feel envious. We don't have them yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I've got one feeder out ready to entice them. As soon as I see a hummer coming, I said to Seppi, we're making buckets of nectar. And we're going to get them all over the windows there. It'll keep me busy just feeding them. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee today for this opportunity we have, Lord, to open the scriptures. We think of those around the world, many people in China, Lord, who are suffering for their open declaration of faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would reach down into their lives and strengthen them. We see also persecution coming here, Lord, as more and more people want to persecute those that have faith in Christ. And so as the time goes by, we ask for strength, wisdom, Lord, as we go through this life. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are on the study of the remnant, and it is a magnificent study because it brings to mind many other studies that feed into it. There's a lot of things that feed into this study of the remnant. And you can see if you go through the Bible that the remnant is by and large a study about Israel and the faithful of Israel and God's elective purposes in relationship to Israel. And understanding his elective purposes is very important, because the time of the book of Acts was a very short time. Yet during that time, there were many, many things written, spiritual things, doctrines, teachings that came out during that time. And there is a significant number of those which were local and specific to that time. And yet people, what they're doing is they're taking those things and trying to make them work today. And they will never make them work, because they were there for a specific time. And that time was known to us as the time of the Acts. Pragmaton, apostolon, the Acts or works of the apostles. We started looking at this. Are we the remnant? And of course, there's no problem in using the word remnant. Remnant is a word which we use, that which remains. We understand that. We understand the word, and it's absolutely legitimate for us to talk about the remnant. And we would like to think that we are those that stand by the stuff. We want that to be the case. But when we qualify the statement, or the question in this case, are we the remnant of Scripture, then, of course, we've got to be very careful. We must be very careful about how we handle the Scriptures. We must rightly divide the word of truth. And like so many doctrines, this is taught in the Scriptures from a very dispensational point of view, very much so. And so when you look at the Romans, you know, this is a very, very important book. But you must understand that it finds itself in the Acts period of time, when God was dealing with the nation of Israel. And you cannot divorce it from that time. Yet many people want to do that. There are people who call themselves Bereans, and what they try to do is say that this book was written to us in this age. And from that comes a lot of problems. A lot of problems are going to come to you if you believe that. Now, the doctrine of justification is definitely laid down there in the book of Romans during the Acts period. That's certainly true, and it's repeated in the prison books. But the foundation of it, of course, is found in the book of Romans. And I'll just go back to that slide once more. But in Romans, there are statements made about Israel. That of Israel, but not Israel. Okay? Of Israel, but not Israel. In other words, the nation of Israel was given a very special place. But many of them, through their own volition, said no to God. God wants the salt of the earth to be the nation of Israel. That's his desire. He wants that. But he is not going to buckle someone's arm and make him a believer. But he wants believing. He wants believing Israel. He's not going to use Israel as the salt of the earth if Israel is just going to say, no, I don't want to have Messiah, Jesus. I don't want him. Well, then he's not going to use those individuals. There was a reason for why God chose Israel. And God chose Israel because of this very special purpose. The purpose of God in election. The purpose of God in election. So that purpose is a very specific one. And we need to refresh our memory about that. And then, of course, there are the Gentiles, the nations. the ethnoi, the nations, are quite different and distinct. These prophets become very important in relationship to this. Very important. And so getting into those is going to be something we must do. Now notice in Romans chapter 9 it says here, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Might stand. Well, stand means you survive and carry on. Right? The purpose of God according to election. So there is a purpose of God according to election that's going on and being taught here in Romans 9. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Okay, so there's this very special calling that's going on here. Very special calling. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve. Doulousse. See, a doulos, a servant. Shall serve the younger. It's all about serving. There was to be a special nation that was to be gathered, called, and was supposed to be the light to the Gentiles. Now this idea of the remnant is everywhere in the Bible. It's just everywhere. Man, you've got to see it. But you'll notice that the remnant as such is not mentioned in the prison books. It's in Romans. But then we have to skip over to the book of Revelation to find the next occurrence. That in itself is kind of instructive, don't you think? It, just as it is, you'd say, that's interesting. I need to pay attention to that. I wonder why. I wonder why that's the case. But look at all these passages, man. Remnant. Very important in relationship to Israel. And therefore, there's going to be doctrines that come out because of this. And we better see those things. And here's a search in the book of Romans for the word Gentiles. And you'll notice that in Romans 15, it's gets quite high there. There's 10 times in the 15th chapter where the word Gentiles comes up. And when you get into Romans 15, what you'll discover in there is that Isaiah especially is being used to show a prophetic purpose of the Gentiles. See, there was a purpose for the Gentiles. God had a place for the Gentiles in his prophetic purposes. And Isaiah describes this. So therefore, you'll find a lot of people who make this fundamental error, right? A fundamental error, where what they do is, they, inside the book of Acts, somewhere, maybe chapter 13 for some in chapter 9, because that's where Paul is called especially, and then chapter 17, others. But somewhere in here, some want to start the church of whom Christ is head. Somewhere we'll call this the mid-Acts position, right? The mid-Acts position. They want to start the church of which we are a part in there. But the trouble is, my friends, that if you started in here, we know that Romans was written right near the end of the book of Acts. So therefore, the things that are in Romans, they're certainly going to be true of, you know, what's going on here. If you start the church somewhere in here and Romans is written later, well, then we better investigate what's going on here, because if you see Romans chapter 15, you see Gentiles being given a very special place amongst the promises of Israel. Amongst Israel. And that is a contradiction of the hope that Paul gives us, which is completely separate and apart to Israel. In fact, let's just go across there right now in the book of Romans. Let's have a look at it and see this. This, I think, is fascinating. We'll come down here to verse number 8. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's his ministry. That's what he came with. And, now look at this, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written. Oh, now wait a minute. So the Gentiles come in here, but it's based upon what is written. For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Here's a song. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people, with Israel. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now look at this. Look at verse 13 and understand this. Now, the God of hope. What hope? The hope that you've just read about from Isaiah. Fill ye with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and if you read about the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll see full miracles and wonders and signs being permitted and carried out during this time. But what hope was it? It was a hope that Isaiah discussed. You want to start the body of which Christ is head in the book of Acts? Then Romans is yours, man. And what hope are you looking forward to? Well, you, right here, it's out of Isaiah, man. Out of Isaiah. But the revelation, the mystery that was given to Paul the prisoner was unknown to Isaiah. He didn't get that. That was not a part of his teaching and his revelation given to him. So, it's magnificent, right? There's something magnificent about the scriptures, but it's got a design, and you've got to find that design. And man, I used to really, there was a time in my life where I had to pray hard because, man, I was not getting this. I was not understanding the scriptures. And to me, it was just contradictory. It was all over the place. It was all mashed up. And it didn't help that preachers didn't address it. They didn't sort it out. They didn't say, look at this, look at this. Compare the scriptures. No, they didn't do that. What did they do? Open up, read a passage, close the book, and give us a homily, man. You know what I'm saying? Just absolute nonsense. And it's still going on today around the world. I hate to say it. So, that's why I give these passages here. We've just read some of them. Notice, planned in relation to Israel. Yes, there is a purpose of the Gentiles. And during the time when God was dealing with the remnant of Israel, the Gentiles had a part. They had a part to play. And that part to play was Romans chapter 11. Graft in as a wild olive branch to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. Well, Seppi and I, we were discussing, you know, how out of tune we often are with what's going on in America, especially here in Oklahoma, when it comes to buying plants. You know, we get there and there's nothing there but a few weeds. You know what I'm saying? They're all gone. All the good ones are gone, and the ones that are there, they're going on half price. Why? Because they won't live anyway. You know what I'm saying? But not this time. We got in here at the right time. Oh, man. We said, hey, this is all different. What's going on? Oh, we got here on the right time. And here it is. All of these beautiful flowers. Oh, man. Isn't the creation amazing? The beauty of these colors. I'm a yellow person. I'll admit it. I love yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. It's always been. And my mum realized that. And whenever she'd buy me stuff, there was always she always made sure plenty of yellow was in there. Crayons, yellow! You know? Like yellow. I still do. I still love yellow. And there were some plants there that had these beautiful yellow flowers with kind of a white in the middle, a red around the side. And then the majority of it was yellow. Oh, man, what a beautiful thing. Well, we got into there. The dew season. There was a dew season. Now watch this. Watch this, man. This is cool. This is absolutely cool. Go across to Romans chapter number 9. And verse number 22. What if God, this is Romans 9, 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory in the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Now there's an interesting picture of the potter. And the potter is working with the clay, and then he finds it broken in his hands. He didn't break it himself. He found it broken. And then what does he do? He then remolds it. It's really cool to understand this and see it. He remolds it. And you see, that's the thing about what God does in the book of Acts. This is what he's doing. And during the Gospels, he's trying to bring Israel to repentance. And as they're going against his plan, okay, you can see it's breaking and the clay is breaking. Okay, then he'll use that for his purposes. And if they carry on in their unbelief, then he'll harden their hearts further. Now they themselves come in unbelief. And they work against God, and God is working with them. And then he says, okay, all right, that's what you want. You want to do that, then I'll mold you into a really hardened heart. And I'll use your disobedience to get my purposes done. That's what happened with the cross. Carrying on down here, look what it says. Verse 24, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC, I will call them my people. Now you notice here, as he saith also, as he saith. He's not saying this is a fulfillment of Hosea in the Gentiles. He's just saying, look, this is a basic principle about how God can deal with things. He's saying, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. Now we know that Hosea is talking specifically about Israel. There will come a day when Israel will be saved, in the sense that they will repent. And when that occurs, there's going to be a great shout of glory and hallelujah amongst the angels. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great time when we see Israel in obedience. And all Paul is doing is he's using this principle that yes, he can use and turn things around, that these nations, these Gentiles who were not given the covenants, they can be turned around. How? On what principle? Now the principle is going to be taught to us. On what basis will he use these who were formerly unbelievers and so on? It says in verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. This is the principle that he's using. Hosea is talking about Israel, and it's going to happen in that real place. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Okay, this remnant. So, Paul is saying, oh, look at this. I have this great sorrow for my people, the nation of Israel. They're in disobedience and they've fallen away. And he could wish that he himself would be cursed from Christ for my kinsmen. He has this great heaviness. And then as you read through and you get into chapter 10, for example, in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, he has this. And then as you read through chapter 11, where it mentions the remnant again, and you get down right here at the end, say, it says this in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past far. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." And then it ends with amen. It goes from sorrow, great heaviness and sorrow, and then it ends up with joy and song. But in the intermediate time, he's got to explain how God and his promises have not failed, even though the bulk of Israel have said no to God. And that's through this doctrine of the remnant. That's how he and his promises have been true all the time. So going back to Romans 9, let's carry on. It says this in verse 27. So this is Romans 9:27. "Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Verse 28, for he will finish the work." Watch this. "He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." A short work. You see, this time was, this time that we're talking about here, was to be a short work, man. A short work. It was to be a short work. If it's a short work, why are you trying to base the longevity of the Christian era on a short work in relationship to the remnant? Why are you doing that? Surely you should be asking the question, what is God doing today since then, since that short work? Right? That's the question that we should be asking ourselves. And of course, that comes up with this great doctrine. Now, concerning Israel and the revelation of the mystery that God had hidden himself and given to Paul the prisoner. Over here, I'm looking at this passage. This passage, which is Romans 9, verse 13. Let's look at it. Romans 9, 13. It says this. "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Now, this is in the context, this is right in the heart and the center of this context of how it is that God has made choice so that this whole purpose of a God according to election could take place. And here you get this, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And what people do with this is they Calvinize this thing to the point where all they can see is a person or two people. A person or two people. And that's all they can see. They can only see the personal in this. But I want you to see this. This is in Genesis 25, 22 to 25. Look at this. You can look it up later. I'll read it to you here. I'll paste it in. "And the children, struggling together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her," this is what the Lord said unto her, "two nations, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Wait a minute. The elder shall serve the younger. We saw this before, right? In the context of Romans 9. This servitude here. You see, there is a place for Israel there was a place for Esau as this nation. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. Boy, that'd be a bit of a surprise, wouldn't it? Look at my beautiful child. Looks like a gorilla. All over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. Esau. Nationhood. Now, in this context, there is the purpose of God according to election, which primarily goes back to the nations. The place of Israel as the salt of the earth, the kingdom of priests, was to do with their nationhood. Now, what about the personal aspect? Well, the personal aspect comes down to the fact that God is not going to use them unless they get born again, unless they get saved, unless they accept Jesus as Christ, the Messiah. Right? And what was the problem? Well, they didn't come to it through faith like the Gentiles did. The Gentile came to it by faith and they succeeded. And the Jews did not come to it by faith, and they failed, by and large, except for the remnant. And that's the basic teaching of it. It's a beautiful thing to see. And so this is what we find in the last portion here. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. You see, it's not the idea of election, this personal election, is not that people were elected and others were not, and those that were elected, that's it. Doesn't matter what you do in the sense of faith. No, no. In fact, Paul says it is by faith, by pursuing it by faith, that you can attain. That's the rule. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Well, I think this is a great lesson, something we all can practically learn from, all right? And that is that we need to get to the heart of what God wants for us in this age. What does God want from us? And how can we approach Him by faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to understand what God has to say to us in this age. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I had a lot more to say on this. In fact, I had some stuff to say on Romans 13 to point out to you the place of governance. And we need to see that there is a place given to governance in the book of Acts, which was special and was for that very short work. It was a part of that. And people today try to come to Romans 13 to tell us that we must be in obedience to a government that is trying to make us do unrighteous things. They do. And they say, Romans 13, man, you've got to be obedient to an unlawful government that's trying to get you to do immoral things. You've just got a complete contradiction of ideas. I want to cover that. I won't do it today. I'll do it next time. Romans chapter 13. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've got together, that we might open the Scriptures and believe and understand and rightly divide it. We pray for those in the situation in many parts of the world that are suffering in their faith in Thee, and we pray, Lord, that You would help them, that we might reach out to them as we understand their position, and Lord, that there will be a great revival here in America, because so much the world can be greatly influenced by what goes on here, both in a good sense and in a bad. We ask, Lord, for strength and wisdom in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.